Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
In a world gone crazy, man, when it doesn't look like anybody knows their job anymore, Janice and I were trying to figure this one out. This is the greatest piece of police work. This is stellar police work. And it only looks stellar to me because I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to police work, but this looks like phenomenal stuff. And maybe you didn't hear this story, and maybe it's just a local one here in California, but it will affect anybody that hears this. You'll feel something. Some piece of crap father, alleged piece of crap father, didn't want to make $1,000 a month child support payments, so he took his four-year-old daughter up a cliff 130 feet and threw her off. That was 3 years ago. That was 3 years ago. 3 years, cops had to put together a case before they could actually arrest them. You know how cops are, because I've watched enough cop shows, I know. I know my police stuff. I watched Prime Suspect all 4 hours. At least the good ones. In any event, you know, cops, they got to make an ironclad case before they take it to the district attorney. Otherwise, the guy's going to say, I can't go to trial with this. I haven't got anything. You know, just like all them movies. So for 3 years, these cops put together, how do you, first of all, no eyewitness? No eyewitness. Secondly, how do you know a man threw a child off of a cliff? You got a guy standing up on a trail someplace and a little girl laying at the bottom of a canyon. So gradually they go back and they piece together the history of this turd. He was involved in a relationship with a woman. She conceived a child. They separated. She forced a DNA test to find a paternity test to find out he was the father. She then was able to take him to court. It was a bitter, bitter... Boy, I'll tell you, man, believe you me, and I don't want to get any further into the description of this if I don't have to. When it comes to guys and their kids, there's some guys... I know a lot of you guys are outstanding fathers. In fact, there's a lot of great fathers, man. I see them all over the place. We only hear about the real garbage because... Because it's news, I guess. I don't know what it is. But in any event, some of these guys, man, they'll do anything to avoid paying child support. They'll do anything. They'll tell any lie. They'll commit any sex offense. They'll allow themselves to be jail raped, anything, just so they don't have to pay child support. How cheap are you, man? What is your story? I mean, what is your story? You brought these kids into the world. You're too freaking cheap to pay for them, you scumbag. What they ought to do is what they used to do in the old days. You remember those... The blocks, the stockade, they're going to hang your ass out there right in the middle of the street so everybody can see what a cheap, good-for-nothing, no-count slob you are. You can't even pay for your kids. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Warren? Anyway, by the way, Keyshawn Johnson deactivated today by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What does that mean? It means they hate his living guts in Tampa Bay. They want nothing more to do with him. Is this Gruden's fault? Is it Keyshawn's fault? Are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers falling apart? Stay tuned. So this guy is alleged to have taken his daughter and thrown her off a cliff. Now, 3 years of meticulous police work culminated on Sunday night. Los Angeles authorities arrested this guy, Cameron John Brown of Ventura, and they have accused him of killing his daughter, Lauren Key, age 4. There were no eyewitnesses. They had to rely on expert witnesses who could debunk Brown's claim that his daughter strayed from a trail along Inspiration Point, one of the highest spots on the peninsula's cliffs. Authorities had said it was astonishing that a parent would bring a young child there and let her roam. Yeah, it's, you know. But sometimes common sense is, it ain't enough. The girl's mother said, obviously, we're relieved, and there was a whole bunch of quotes. But anyway, this guy was granted visitation, so they went back and they looked at the history of this guy and this kid and this woman, and they found, and probably sweated him when they sat him down in an interrogation room and said, look, you know, you didn't like paying this child support, did you? And you had problems with the mother, didn't you? And you had you contested the paternity test, didn't you? And then all of a sudden, when they said that you're going to pay the $1,000 a month, all of a sudden, now guess what you're doing? You want visitation, and not only that, you're looking for joint custody. And the funny thing, man, the kid winds up dead at the bottom of a cliff. You're screwed. You're under arrest in the name of the law. Put your hands up and come out. I just think that this is the kind of stuff, this is fascinating how they, because they got to be able to, I guess they've established a motive, but they've got, don't they have to have some kind of physical evidence as well? That's where it's really going to get into an interesting part of this case. But I read this, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I just read the story, and this is when life kind of, you know, you put a smile on your face a little bit, you know, when you see that some kind of justice can be done, that a guy picks up a four-year-old kid and throws her off of a cliff. I mean, come on, pal. Do you really think you deserve to live? Why don't you just go ahead and do the honorable? If you're a guy like that, like this John Cameron Brown, wouldn't you just say, here's a cyanide capsule, I'll come back in 5 minutes? Come on, man, do the right thing. Maybe there's a place in some remote part of heaven for you if you do that. Otherwise, you know you're going to burn. Like Arthur Brown said, you're going to burn. But I would just kind of slip him a revolver with one in the chamber and say, go ahead, just the barrel in the mouth, and we'll close the door. The shot will be muffled. Just wander out someplace in the middle of the weeds. We'll come and get your body. We'll make sure no freaking vultures get it. You know, we'll have a closed coffin thing. Just a few people. Maybe your mommy will be invited. Just get the hell out of here. Just kill yourself, man. So that was kind of a cool thing. And they've got this scumbag. Now he's in a jail cell down in L.A., and he'll, you know, he'll be remanded before the judge, and the rest will be, hopefully the cat will get convicted, and it's really good police work, and it's unbelievable, man, what some of these guys can put together. It's really nice. It's real nice. I wish I had some kind of a violin to cue here, but anyway, Austin Namarca is going to be on today. Talk about singing the blues, talk about cue the violin. He's got some complaints about some of you guys that come in for auto repairs. Don't ask the cashier or the service department too often when your car will be ready, because they may just push you to the bottom of the list. Also, we have Bobby Dooley. Bobby Dooley has a revolutionary suggestion. She wants mandatory gun ownership. Not, it's okay to have a gun. You gotta have a gun. That's coming up on our show today. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. We'll take calls for the next 45 minutes. We'll be talking with Austin and Bobby. We also have, of course, our signing coming up on Saturday. I want to tell you about the Yankee Doodle signing in Woodland Hills. And when I say Yankee Doodles, people think that that's, you know, well, is that like porn stores? No. Why? Because it says Yankee. Is that it? Or is it Doodle? It's supposed to be Diddle, you dumbass. Yankee Doodles, which is a sports bar, thank you very much, in Woodland Hills, Saturday, November 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 21870 Victory Boulevard, 21870 Victory Boulevard. Get off at Topanga Canyon, north off the 101 freeway, and you're there, baby. You're there at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, and that's where we'll have our signing. And all the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson got cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this is not a sports story necessarily. This, my friends, is a story of life. It's a story of America. This guy's a big football star, and basically what happened today is the Tampa Bay Buccaneer football organization club thing said, you are deactivated, you are done, and at the end of the season you're being cut. And it's quite insulting, because what deactivation means is not only are you not playing for us, but you're going to stay within the organization. You won't play for anybody this year. You're done. You're sat down. You're like a child being sent to his room. And I don't know what the guy did. And I'm going to tell you something. I always resist the temptation to immediately say the coach is right and the player's wrong. I never, in professional sports, you just don't get it. If you think that the coach is always right and the player's always wrong, coaches have agents too. You understand? Coaches play mind games too. Coaches have egos too. Coaches are unreasonable too. Coaches make stupid demands too. In other words, in the National Football League, there is no difference between a coach and a player. They're both equally petulant children. They're both, and also one other thing, with the greatest of respect to my friends who work in the National Football League, and I say this about talk show hosts, so when I say anything about anybody in sports, remember it equally applies to this job. They're also equally dispensable. In the culture at large, football is an entertainment business, and entertainment, man, is a luxury we can well do without these days. People said after 9/11, nobody would want to laugh anymore, nobody would want comedy. It wasn't so much that people didn't want comedy or they didn't want to laugh or they didn't want to see movies. It's just that they had other priorities. Maybe it meant that after 9/11, we weren't kissing everybody's ass as much as we used to. Doesn't mean we don't want to go to a movie. It just means we ain't kissing their asses anymore. Now, here's the thing with you, Keyshawn. And then I'll address some comments to Gruden, too. I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I do have the right to talk about it because you guys are in an entertainment business. You're public personalities, and that's what we do. We comment on you. Do we not know what we're talking about? Well, that's too bad. You're going to have to listen to it anyway. Because we happen to pay the money that goes to the till and all of those wonderful things that you guys have heard and you hate hearing because, you know, we don't understand the business you're in. Hey, what's to understand, chump? Huh? Your business all that complicated? What's to understand? I don't understand what it's like to be a wide receiver or a coach in the National Football League. Yeah, and maybe I don't understand what makes people fart either. So what? You guys think you're in a freaking brain surgery business? You think you're inventing the... what do you think? You're coming up with the cure for male pattern baldness or AIDS? You got some scientific profession you got going on there? What's to understand about your dumb profession? You catch a funny-looking ball and you make a lot of money. You, Keyshawn, keep your big fat mouth shut. You're a very talented player. You do more time talking than you do actually playing. If you don't like the coach, then I don't know what to tell you. Get your agent to ship your ass someplace else. You think publicly humiliating a coach is going to get you more playing time? You think you're going to win a power struggle down there? There's some coaches you can win power struggles with, some coaches you can't. Gruden don't look like the type you're going to win one with because he's coming off of a Super Bowl win, dummy. And Gruden, you, get rid of Keyshawn Johnson, but that ain't the end of your problems. You know it as well as I do. You guys are done. You're not going to make the playoffs. You got bigger problems than Keyshawn Johnson. You got a defense with no guts and no heart. No guts, no heart. Your problem ain't offense, man. Your problem's defense. Guys you ought to be talking to are some of those scumbags who were embarrassing you in the first place, like that Warren Sapp and the rest of them. You're deactivating a Keyshawn Johnson? I bet you that guy's more valuable to that team right now than Warren Sapp is. I'd be willing to bet big dollars on that, in fact. What lost that Green Bay game for you guys was when Green Bay drove it right up your rear ends. They took your defense and spanked them. They took your defense and treated them like they'd just come out on the yard and they were trading cigarettes for their rear ends. Just like a bunch of yard boys. So come on. So, Gruden, good for you. You won one, man, but your team's going no place. You better make the playoffs next year. You're out of a job. That's how fast it can happen, baby. That's right. What do I know about it? Let's just say this. I'm older than you. That's for starters. Number two, I know how business works. I don't give a crap if it's pro football, baseball, radio, or picking up trash out there in the lot at McDonald's. I know how business works. You don't make the playoffs next year, your ass is gone. All right, now for some bad news. I've just received a report here that there is a movie out about Santa Claus in which he drinks, screws, and generally is a real waste about. It's a film that's being distributed by Miramax, and Disney is putting it out, as you know. It stars Billy Bob Thornton, and we don't have any passes for this thing, and so I don't have any giveaways today for it. The movie is called something like Bad Santa, and we wanted to have giveaways, and we just can't. Just so you guys could go off and pretend like you like the movie. Something, I don't know. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, come on. What is it with Courtney Love in the news? What is it with this woman, Courtney Love? Courtney Love, it's all over. It's over, honey. Look, your band never was all that great. You know that as well as I do. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Why don't you stay away from reporters? You're an embarrassment to yourself, to this kid that you want to get back. The last time I said, why don't you hurry up and die? Now I feel bad for you. Obviously that's not an option. You don't want to die. You want to keep living and opening your big mouth to every reporter that walks by, huh? Now she's begging her mother-in-law for help. Would you go away? You are no longer of legitimate interest to anyone other than your immediate family. Take care of that kid. Try to get her back. Take care of your family. Whatever, whatever, whatever. We're not interested in your life. You're an undisciplined individual. You have problems, mental and as well as physical. Your talents do not merit our interest in terms of the popular culture. I'm sure there are people who love you. Go away. The way you treated your daughter, the fact that you disgraced that poor dead clown, that Kurt Cobain, who blew, of course, disgrace him. He disgraced himself, and he blows his brains all over the freaking wall and didn't even leave a note to provide a decent cleaning service referral. I mean, it's the least he could have done. I mean, you bail out on your wife and your daughter, that's one thing. But to blow your brains all over a wall and not even put in the note, by the way, I'd use 409 on the wall. Just something to say, thank you, God, for letting me live. I can no longer go on. I'm blowing my brains out. I know it'll leave a mess, but I've heard that lemon oil combined with, so, you know, I'm kind of a thing. Courtney Bloody Love. She pleaded innocent to counts of drug possession and called the charges retarded. Oh, you are an embarrassment. I saw her in that movie, that Larry Flint deal, right? Good flick. Great actress. I thought she did a great... I thought maybe she'd start doing some movies. Instead, she's like many of these borderline personalities. Dull as can be, boring us with her photographs and magazines, dumb paparazzi taking her picture. She talk about retarded, baby. You got to take a look at yourself at a nightclub. Every time they stick a picture of you in a magazine in some nightclub, retarded ain't the word. More like catatonic. More like a 20-year coma. More like Terry Schiavo. Get the picture? You see Terry Schiavo, that poor lady, that poor woman in a coma? No difference between her face and yours, Courtney, when they take a picture of you sitting in a nightclub someplace with your thumb up your rear end and a cigarette hanging out of your ear. You know, there comes a point when you use so many drugs. Seriously, you're not good looking anymore. And I guess you think you are. You know, you use enough narcotics, whatever it is that you use. You know, even psychedelics, even what they think is a fairly benign drug, like a psychedelic, in terms of its toll on the physical body, and you look like crap. And nothing takes your looks out like booze. Nothing knocks the looks out of somebody like booze. You go from looking pretty good. You look like you're 40 when you're 30. Drink enough of that stuff. You ever seen that? See some of these people? You'd swear to God, man, she's like 40. She's like 26. And that Love, man, you look at her kisser, like to take a freight train, make a freight train take a dirt road with that freaking mug. I hate to be cruel, but somebody's got to do it. Obviously, nobody's telling you any truth, huh? But somebody's printing your story. Every time I turn around, there's another story about you. Why? Go away. Go away. I'm not saying that you do the solution that other scumbag. You shouldn't kill yourself. Just get out of here, will you? Get a job over here at Norm's, pushing coffee, taking down some breakfast orders. You'd look good with a little apron going, okay, this morning we have chorizo and eggs, and there's the chef special. You know, do that. You'll make about, what do you figure, $40 a day in tips, take it home to the kid, feed her some milk, take her to the park. Be a freaking woman. To that kid, wherever that poor kid is. What? Oh, Jesus. You know, this generation of... The last two generations of parents, the baby boomers, and now it seems more this particular generation of parents, there's going to be a percentage of kids growing up who are going to say things like, yeah, my father was... his name was Johnny Terrible, and he was in a band called the Turds, and I don't know, they played on the Sunset Strip. Oh, really? Yeah, it's great. Well, my dad, his name was Sundown, and he was in the Vegetables, and they played in San Francisco. But it's the same thing. Exactly. Just two generations of hippie kids. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com is our email address. Email us. Sometimes we read them, sometimes we don't. But if they're good, we read them. If they're not, we don't. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Coming up, we've got news that only football players can understand. So, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, now that you don't have much to do, baby, stick around for the news. Austin Amark on auto repairs. Bobby Dooley on mandatory gun ownership. Bunch of bullcrap about Liza Minnelli. It's all coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, the Phil Henry Show presents news that professional football players can actually understand. From our studios in New York, here again is Bud Dickman.
Good evening and welcome to news that football player understand. Michael Jackson, he touched a kid's butt. Sure, they say he did. Another man, Scott Pederson, they say he killed his wife and tossed her out into the San Francisco Bay, which is, if you've ever seen the Rice-A-Roni commercial, that's where that is. All right, we have this in. Some kid said, or no, Keyshawn Johnson of Tampa, Florida said, I don't know where San Francisco is. What do you mean, the Rice-A-Roni? Okay, look. Rice-A-Roni, San Francisco treat, Rice-A-Roni, and it's the beat. You can beat it. You know that one. Okay, here's a letter from Warren Sapp of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He said, what do you mean? The flavor can't be beat. It's supposed to be in that. He's right. Rice-A-Roni, flavor won't be beat. Thanks a lot, Warren, for your letter. Liza Minnelli is gonna sue a queer man she was married to. He's gay and everything, and she didn't know it, so she's suing him because she didn't know he didn't like girls that much. Here's a letter from the Oakland Raider team that signed all the guys. What do you mean? Okay, well, thanks, guys, for writing. Well, what I mean is, he's queer and she didn't know it. What are you talking about? Why don't you understand?
All right, but it's okay. They just didn't know what you mean by queer, okay? I mean, the guy, can't you say gay?
What?
David Guest, can't you say gay?
Well, yeah,
But it's a good thing when people write you letters. It's not bad. It means that you're popular.
Well, the guy said about Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah, well, they're too stupid to know where San Francisco is. That was very good. You gave them a visual. Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. See, now they know.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Just do the freaking news. And now back to more news that only pro football players can understand. What?
Can you do the music?
Jesus. Here again is Bud Dickman in New York, even though you're not really.
Thanks a lot, Phil. There's a man. Oh, look at this. Mr. Johnson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has been fired. He was fired because they said he's stupid. He's just stupid. Mickey Mouse is 75 today. That's really great. Let's get on the phone with Mickey Mouse. Wait a minute. Let's take a phone call now. I'm going to take a phone call from one of Michael Pittman of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Michael, what can you do?
Well, I want to talk to me.
Okay, you want to talk to Mickey?
Yeah.
All right. Michael Pittman is hanging on for Mickey. Hi, Mickey. This is great. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey. It's Michael Pittman.
Ah, shove it, man. You left me some serious cabbage on that Green Bay game. You fag.
Anyway. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. I didn't know that Mickey was going to call Michael Pittman that name. All right.
Now more news that pro football players can understand.
And another story, Kid Rock. Wait a minute. Yeah, Michael?
Hey, man, what are you trying to do with him to Mickey Mouse? Well, Mickey Mouse.
What do you mean, Mau Mau?
I said Mickey Mouse, not Mau Mau. You call me a Mau Mau?
No, it sounded like you said you remember the Mau Mau.
I can't do.
Me too.
Aye.
That's Michael Pittman of the Tampa Boo Blabaneers. The Tampa Buck Boobin. I forget. Kid Rock and Pamela Anderson. She's got great boobs.
This has been news that only pro football players can understand. Join us again next week when we hear John Gruden say,
God, I hate all of these black players. What happened to the good, solid white men?
All right, what a sick bastard. Oh, what a sick... Okay, there it is. That's news that only pro football players can understand. 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca coming up. He's an auto repair guy that's going to tell you what to do with your car and also what not to do when you're in the cashier, the waiting, in the waiting area. Bobby Dooley is going to join us on mandatory guns. And we're going to talk about kids and smoking and... a bunch of other stuff coming up on our show here. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, our signing is going to be at Yankee Doodle Sports Bar in Woodland Hills, Saturday, November 22nd from 11 to 1 p.m. And that is for the signing of the brand new Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, honest to God, I don't mean to knock Pamela Anderson. I mean, yesterday we did a fair job, but all of, you know, every day I open up my newspaper, every day I look into the internet, there's another story about her and her big breasts and her big mouth and her big ass. And there she is again with Kid Rock at the American Academy of Dumbasses or something last night. Whatever that thing is that Dick Clark produces. What's it called? The American Music Awards. There you go. That's original. That's great. American Music Awards, like AMA, like American Medical Association. You know, like, in other words, clean out your colon, sir. So there she is, right? There's Pamela Anderson. At least Kid Rock makes records. Then I'm talking to my good, very good friend here, Mr. Pelton, and I were discussing during the break that cartoon she did, Stripperella, that was drawn or produced by Stan Lee. This poor man, Stan Lee, and when I say poor man, I do mean poor man, because here's a guy that created Superman, Batman, everybody, man. The Fantastic Four, right? The Green Lantern, the little guy with the flame thing, the little man, the Fantastic, the Hulk and Spider, everything. Stan Lee, and somewhere along the line, some clod that works with Pamela Anderson talked him into being associated with her, in business with her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Isn't there a thing in the Bible about casting your swine before the pearls? Or is it casting your pearls before the swine? I think it's casting your swine in front of the pearl, isn't it? What is it with you, Mr. Lee? Mr. Lee? Mr. Lee Lee Lee? Hanging with her? I mean, look, have sex with her, yes. Go into business with her? Are you out of your mind? Is that what it takes for you to sleep with her? You poor old man. You're a brilliant guy, dude, but obviously the business just passed you by in a flash. You're going to do a cartoon for Pamela Anderson. It wasn't funny. It wasn't interesting. Let me explain something that I've known for a long time. I even sat down with a guy in New York about... It was last year when we were in New York for the the first anniversary of 9/11. I'm talking with a guy at a radio business, and we're talking about this whole effort at getting men to listen to the radio and men to watch television. That's what that Spike TV is. It was an effort to get men, young men, to watch TV. And, of course, if you're a young man, you're, according to the television people, you're so easy to read that all we have to do is talk about, I guess, boobs, ass, and like that. And if you say, well, yeah, that's right, Phil, that's all you have to talk about, well, you know as well as I do that it ain't. Otherwise, Pamela Anderson's cartoon would be through the roof. You also need to have a little bit of a sense of humor. You also need to have, maybe just be funny every now and again. Now, that Spike TV... They took it up, they're going to retool it. Spike TV ain't even going to be around long enough for them to retool it. And anyway, every time they say something's being retooled, it's dead. Forget it, it's dead. Now they got that other thing, that Kid Notorious, but that's on Comedy Central, right? And what's that other piece of crap? Gary the Rat? A real turd, man. Ain't funny, baby. You want to see a funny cartoon? You watch what we're putting together for Fox. Now we know laughs. And let me tell you what. It's not that difficult to get, to get one together every now and again. A couple of laughs here and there, that's all you got to do. We know how to be funny, and when you see this baby we're putting together for Fox, which I hope you do, which I hope it gets by their suits over there, which who knows if it will or not. I mean, I got to lay some on them, man. It'll make them bust the gut and lose every ham sandwich they ever had laughing. And those guys might turn around and go, well, you know, you criticized Forehead Boy in here, and I don't think we should do that. Oh, okay. Well, whatever you say there, should I call you Roop or I don't know? How about Doc? All right, what I really wanted to talk about, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked, was the service that my wife's getting on her car is fantastic. And I just want to give kudos to all those guys up there at the Thousand Oaks Auto Mall that work at Ladin Lincoln Mercury, because they service my wife's car with a smile, with a crisp, deft touch, with a marvelous, intuitive sense for the well-being of the customer as well as the automobile itself. They'd give it to her with a nice wash job on it. Anytime anything is not done to complete satisfaction, they are humble when they take the car back. They fix it. They got red carpet service over there that's great. And I'm so very thankful that my wife has that kind of service for her car, because I sure as hell don't have it for mine at the other place that I bought my car at, which I won't mention. At the same auto mall, I'd like to say. I just want to say this. You guys that sell cars, I hope it's worth it to you. I really honestly, I hope it's worth it to you to lose the business when you, A, can't even have the common courtesy and decency to walk your fat ass out of your office and say, thank you for shopping at our showroom when a new customer has purchased a pretty expensive car from you. When you, B, even though you have repeatedly had complaints in terms of the kind of service and the mechanical problems of this car from one customer, you don't offer them anything in the way of a little extra service. They have to come begging you for it, which has been the case with me. And then when you bring the car in, and I brought my car in three times to this dump to get the squeaking brakes fixed, and it still isn't fixed. And what's the excuse they give to me? Well, it's, geez, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't know what to do. I called up the main 1-800 number for this company, and I said, I got a problem. Well, guess what? They got a bunch of dumbbells answering the phone back there. For all I know, these cats are on prison release, so they're all like high school dropouts or something. You know that, don't you? You know when you call an 800 line, you could be talking to some guy that's inside San Quentin.
May I take your order, please?
Yeah, I'm interested in the Rudy Valley cassettes.
Uh-huh.
What the hell? Some old lady calling up, man. She wants to get the latest on the, you know, yes, the, I love the Judy Garland set and the Dina Merrill.
Yeah, well,
what's that one they were doing? Anyway, the brakes are squeaking, man. Look, dude, this ain't like I'm making a major complaint here and I'm making a pain in your ass. The radio didn't work. The brakes are freaking squeaking. The freaking place where all the electronics are in the top of the ceiling of the car was falling out. Gas cap is stuck. This is a problem. That's a problem. Something else is a problem. Soon as I had that bloody car out of that place, not more than 5 days, man, I got a squeaking fan belt. I got all this stuff. Now, granted, things go wrong with cars. But when you bring it back, not once, not twice, but six or eight times in the first 2 weeks, do you think any of those dumbbells at that place might say, well, you know what, Mr. Henry, this really sucks. I mean, it's an inconvenience for you. We'd like to just go ahead and maybe do something for you. I don't know, knock off a freaking couple of months of lease payment or whatever. No, I got to go begging for all of it. I got to go, because I didn't get any satisfaction talking to the dumbass at the service center there. I got to talk to the head guy. They got like two service guys. Once you get through one, then you get to another. It's kind of like seeing Oz, you know? You're supposed to give your height, weight, and tape measurements, and then maybe let you go in to see the big man. What in the hell is this? I just want you guys to know, and you know who you are, I hope it's all been worth it, because you lost my business. I mean, I hope it's been worth it. I know that you got better things to do, and I know that, I guess you got more important customers, but you've just lost one. You lost me. I'm never going back. I like the car. I don't like you. So I'm not buying my car from you again. I will not re-up my lease payment with you, and I'd love to mention the name of your company, but I guess that'd be kind of... Should I say it, Janice? I better not. Because it would be a little, you know, but you guys know who you are. And frankly, I'm voicing frustrations that every freaking person who ever leases a car or buys a car is feeling. I hope it's worth it to you guys. It must be, because you got more people hating your guts. The only people that like you guys, where I take my car, a bunch of hicks from Bakersfield. I got to tell you something. How do I put this delicately? I haven't met one person yet from Bakersfield that I like. What's up with that? I've met two idiots. two idiots in Hawaii last summer with my wife from Bakersfield. One of them was a drunk. The other was so stupid, he couldn't put two words together. You know, he couldn't put two words together without his eyeballs crossing. And both of them, their old ladies had this kind of car and took it down to this place. And they just loved it.
I just love this, sir.
They're driving from Bakersfield all the way down to the Kaneo Valley for this crap service. Tells you what they got up in Bakersfield for car service, car dealerships, everything. And it ain't much. But I hope it was worth it, man, because it's all over. I ain't going back to you for love or money. But I will say, and I'm very happy to mention, the name of the guys that give my wife the best service around. She loves it so much, she's going to get another car from these guys. She's hoping it'll be free this time. And frankly, with all the business we've given you guys, I don't see why not. The guys up at Ladin there, man. Good job, boys. Good job. Now then. And now this. All right, anyway, Scott Peterson is, he's going to stand trial for the murder of his wife. Why? Well, you're kidding, right? He's so guilty, it's not even funny. Anybody that didn't think this guy's guilty is dreaming. Anyone out there think that I'm being unfair with Scott Peterson? I'd love to know if there's anybody out there that thinks I'm being unfair to this guy. The sooner they put this guy, they put his head through a noose, the better. He's going to stand trial, Scott. All of the machinations of that Garagos guy, I'm going to get you off. You're done for. Your mother and father giving $1 million to that mouthpiece for what? What, just the day that you're actually going to go down for the count just to put it off a couple of weeks? Is that it? Scott Peterson will stand trial on two counts of murder for the death of his wife. In fact, the judge in his ruling said that a couple of the witnesses that the defense team brought forth were pretty weak, really weak. He basically said they had no credibility whatsoever. Guy's a murdering piece of crap. Now, they ought to put him and that Muhammad away on the same day, just for a pay-per-view opportunity. If they can get this guy convicted soon enough, they may be able to cook him the same day they do Muhammad, don't you think? And that could be a pay-per-view opportunity with repercussions beyond any reckoning of mortal man. I'll donate all of my... I'll donate all the backstage pass money we make. Which is $6.95 a month, by the way, for a backstage pass to get all of the classic audio off of our website. $6.95 a month. Just go to www.philhenryshow.com. All right, coming up, we've got Austin Amarca on auto repairs, and as you can tell, I had a lot to say about it. We'll hear more about the world of auto repair from Mr. Austin Amarca and why it is a pretty dangerous thing to keep bothering the guy every time you want to know when your car's going to be ready. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, this time of year is really for car servicing and car repair because the season is upon us. Wintertime is coming up, and people want to take care of their car. We're going to bring on Austin Amarca. Austin is with Amarca Motors up in Lancaster to talk about car care in the winter months. And this is the time of year, Austin, that we want to get our car into the mechanic, right?
Phil, you want to get it into your mechanic or to your dealer to have the usual servicing done before the season changes. Absolutely.
What does that include?
That will include a standard service. As if you live in the Northeast, it also means changing your tires to winter tires, putting in a heavier weight motor oil. Make sure your antifreeze is topped off. You might want to have the undercoat on for the road salt.
And that undercoat, I had that when I lived in Minnesota. That keeps the salt from eating away at the metal.
At the chassis, absolutely. It's very, very debilitating to the frame of an automobile, the road salt, when they salt the highways in the Northeast and in the East for snow. And remember, or rather for ice, I should say. Remember to approve all estimates with your signature. Most states have a law requiring estimates be put into writing, and you need to approve all estimates with your signature and also make sure of the estimate price before signing off.
Now, what about leaving the car overnight? What kind of repairs would necessitate us leaving the car overnight as opposed to what can be done there? What can we wait while we wait? What can be done?
Well, Phil, I think most places, if they can fit you in, will let you wait for the car, especially for some of the work, which is generally takes only about an hour. General servicing, tire changes, these things. But nonetheless, you are welcome to wait for the car if you'd like. What we do ask, where we work and where most mechanics work, what we do ask is to not, it's kind of a interesting situation that we have, but we do ask you not to constantly come up to the cashier or to those of us in the service area and ask us when your car is going to be ready, because that's something that we take rather seriously, and we don't want you to lose your goodwill with us, and we certainly don't want to lose our goodwill with you.
All right, we're talking with Austin Amarca with Amarca Motors in Lancaster. Why would it, you're talking about goodwill between the auto mechanic and the customer?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Well, what has that got to do with the number of times, if I want to know when my car is ready?
No, what I'm saying, Phil, is that what you don't want to do is what a lot of people have done in the past and continue to do, and that's come up to the cashier while you're waiting for your car, or go to the service area and say, can you tell me when my car is going to be ready? Because that's the kind of thing. First of all, our cashiers are very busy. The auto repair business takes in a fair amount of money, and during the course of the day, we do require a cash count. It's our way of seeing whether we should have, whether we should have come in and opened our door during that process. While we're counting our money, a customer walks up and asks if their car is ready. Now you've and I don't want to say, but you've acted a little selfishly as a customer. You're in danger of them then going onto the back phone and telling the service area that this person is bothering them. And
so they get on the okay. Now I'm a little confused. So you guys don't want people asking you, when's my car going to be ready?
That is correct.
Because you're counting money?
No, not necessarily just that, but also, you have to understand, when you ask me over and over and over again, can you tell me when my car's going to be ready, whether you're calling for it or whether you're waiting for it, you're showing a lot of disrespect. And I hate to put it.
How so?
First of all, Phil, I know my business. I don't need for you to come up and ask me over and over again about your car. It's as if you're saying to everybody else sitting in the service waiting room, I think I'll push this guy around. You see, and...
Well, that's never the intention, though, right?
Well, it may not be the intent, but every time you keep bothering somebody at the cashier window, or especially me, and I work in the service bay, and you keep asking me, when's your car? You're basically saying to everybody within earshot, watch me push this guy around like he works the counter, at McDonald's. And what I would say to you, and I say this with all due respect, but you don't want to do that with me. All right, you might as well go over to Vons and push some strikers around, but please don't think you can push us in the service bay around.
I can, Mr. Mark. I can tell you when I ask to know when my car is ready.
No, but Phil, please understand. We know that people don't mean the worst. But the effect is that.
Well, you know that when I ask you, is my car, can you tell me when my car's ready? I'm not trying to push you around.
But that's, you're bothering me, and you're making it look like you tell me what to do. So don't tell me what to do. Let me just restate if I could, Phil.
Well, okay. I'm not telling you.
Let me restate what I said.
Well, hold on. We're talking with Austin Amarca. He is the owner of Amarca Motors. They're a repair and service, automotive service company in Lancaster, California. You've been talking about car maintenance and...
winterizing the car and putting in motor oil and all the things that I mentioned. And also, yes, don't keep calling up or going up to the service guy and asking when your car's going to be ready. We'll get your car done, but you have to sit in the lobby, enjoy the coffee, read a magazine, and boy, I'll tell you... Let me just tell you the one thing that really, if I hear about people sitting in the lobby out of earshot of me, remarking to other people on how long it takes for their car, it really, I guess you could say it makes me angry. So,
all right, hold on for a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Austin and Marka is on to talk about car care. I honestly, Mr. Marka, had not brought you on to talk about, I didn't want to be contentious.
I understand that, sir.
But apparently you want to...
And I don't mean to be contentious with you, Phil. I'm just telling people what to do and what not to do. Yes, maintain your car. Yes, top off your antifreeze. Yes, do all the things for your motor oil before the winter months. But don't, I'm just trying to let you know, don't come up to us in the service bay and start trying to, and I don't mean to use a bad word, but, you know, my son says P.O., you know, don't try to P.O. me. Don't try to
anger you.
Don't try to anger me, exactly. And
but people are not trying to anger you. They're asking you when their car is going to get done.
I understand that. And it'll get done when it gets done. And the more times you ask me, the more you're basically spitting in my face and saying...
No, sir, I'm not spitting in your face, Mr. Marka. What I'm saying is I'm just trying to determine when my car will be ready.
I understand.
And if it takes another hour, then maybe I can go someplace else, right?
I told you the first time, I don't know. So why would I... Well, I'll give you an example, Phil. We had a guy come up to me, and he came in driving a Toyota Camry. And I hope this illustrates what I'm trying to say. Now, these guys that drive Toyota Camrys think that they're driving a Mercedes-Benz, which is, of course, it's a great car. Don't get me wrong, but it's a joke if you think you're driving a Mercedes. And then additionally, as you know, the Camry is a Japanese car. And, oh, boy, it's asking a lot for any mechanic that loves his country to work on a rice burning. Anyway.
You don't want to work on it because it's Japanese.
I think it's asking an awful lot. Yes, sir. So with all of that going against me, this guy made the mistake. He walks up after 45 minutes and he says, when will my car be done? And I can tell you that hurt me. And that he thinks he can order me around like I'm a Mexican. And I mean no disrespect to the Mexican people, but that's... So I told him, you know what? They found a possible leak in one of your lines, so they need to clear the line, and it won't be ready till tomorrow. And we're sorry, but you'll need to come back. And the reason why I tell that story, Phil, is his big mouth bought him extra cab expense and time out of his day. Because I said to myself, boy, he's asking for it, man. He comes in here with not a rice rocket, but he comes in with a Japanese car. And then he asked me when it's going to be ready.
You don't like working on Japanese cars?
No, sir, I do not. I think you ask any mechanic, any American mechanic, and it makes his... We used to say in the Army, and I don't want to be a crude, we say it makes my gonads tighten up just thinking about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're on with Austin DeMarco. He is an auto mechanic. We're here to talk about car care as the winter months come up upon you. And when you bring your car in to get it serviced, do not show disrespect to the mechanic or the cashier by continually asking when's the car going to be ready. Here is Mike. You're on with Mr. Marka on the Phil Henry Show. Mike.
Hi, Mr. Marka.
Yes, sir. Marka,
I've been listening to your comment, and quite frankly, I'm a little bit astounded. You sound like quite a successful businessman, but in the same vein, I really don't know how you got so successful. I mean, it seems to me, quite frankly,
well,
you have...
Ask me a specific question, I can answer it. You have a lot of general comments there.
You appear not to have any concept of customer service.
Well, that's not the truth, because you just said I'm a successful businessman.
Well, sir, I'm really astounded that if a person wants to ask you when their car is ready, I don't think it's them showing you disrespect.
What's the point? I don't understand. What's the point?
The point is that you need to show your customers some understanding, some compassion.
No, I mean, what's the point of him asking me when his car is going to be ready? It'll be ready when it's ready.
So he can arrange for a ride,
arrange for
a pickup, alternate transportation.
Don't you think
have an understanding of
shouldn't he figure that out before he bought his car to my... I'm not sure I understand you.
Well, the man is saying, if I bring...
Well, no, let this gentleman explain, Phil, because I don't mean... But he knows what he's asking. So what are you asking me, Mike? I've been in business for a long time. I can almost read a guy when he comes in the door, or a housewife especially, when they want to come up and ask about their car. And sometimes, so I don't lose my temper, I look them in the eye for as long as I can stand it, and then I turn and I slowly walk away.
Do you ever, let me ask you then, do you ever tell your customers and give them an exact definitive time when their car is going to be ready?
Well, it's impossible. What if we need a part? What if I'm missing a tool? What if one of my mechanics calls in sick? What if we've misdiagnosed the problem and we need to bring it back in? And if somebody brings in one of these, oh man, have you ever seen one of these Japanese cars? You know what I'm saying, Mike?
They probably won't bring them in because unlike American cars, they work. They run. They don't break down.
Oh, really? Well, they bring them into my place by the freaking rice bucket full. God damn.
Look on the internet when you get recalls and cars that don't work. They're all American.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449.
As opposed to those Canadian cars, they work real good, don't they? Oh, I'm sorry. They don't make them up there. They haven't figured out how yet.
Hold on for a minute, sir, please. Because this is an hour devoted to car care, car maintenance, and helping people get their cars ready for the winter months. I don't want it to be a contention about whether a guy ought to ask when his car's going to be ready or who makes a better car, the Americans or the Japanese. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca on the line with us saying, what you shouldn't do when you bring your car in is continually bother the service guy with questions about when it's going to be ready. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome back. We're on with Austin Amarca, who is with Amarca Motors in Lancaster, California, on car care. But we seem to be stuck on this issue of you guys not wanting to be asked over and over again about when their car's going to be ready by customers.
Okay, if I could jump in and give you an example of what I'm talking about, I think it'll clarify.
Go ahead.
It'll clarify what we're saying. Marcy Jan is one of our best cashiers, and she was in the middle of a money count at about 10:30. Now you're counting the money at 10:30, because if you're having a good enough day, you don't need to stay open past noon, and everybody else can go. They can, you know, make an appointment for them. I don't care what happens to them, but they're my customers, so I do care. But the point is, she's in the middle of a cash count. The customer walks up to her and says, "Can you tell me when my car's going to be ready?" Well, she looked at me, and I looked at her. And I couldn't believe the pair on this guy, and I looked at him and I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "I'm asking why." I said, the lady's busy. Okay? I said, "If you want to know when your car's going to be ready, you can sit down and wait for it." See, this is what I'm talking about, Phil. It's common, decent courtesy to our cashiers and service people. Remember, there are some places, and mine is not one of them. Mine is not one of them, and I want to say that. But there are some places, if you PO them enough, somebody's fooling with a brake line, somebody's...
Oh, come on. Are you telling me that somebody would purposely render that automobile unsafe?
I've heard about it happening. Yes, sir.
Well, that's criminal, and anybody that does that belongs in a prison cell for the rest of his life.
I agree with you, Phil. But, you know, sometimes they get caught, sometimes they don't.
If I ever caught the guy, I might not even wait for the cops.
Jeez, big guy.
Yeah, that's right. Big man, that's right. Yeah. Comes to my family, damn right.
But, Phil, all I'm saying is what some other guys do.
Okay, well, I ever heard about it, man, and that'd be the last that guy ever freaking breathed a free ounce of air, I'll tell you that. He'd be in jail for the rest of his life. 1-800...
What are you getting all upset about?
I'm getting upset over the fact that you're... Let me take a phone call. 1-800-449-8686. Darren, go ahead.
Hello there.
Yes, sir.
You're meaning to tell me that if I bring my car in for, say, a muffler job, one of your classic, almighty American cars, You mean to say that you can't tell me on a typical Ford Escort how long that's going to take? So say you tell me an hour, and then it's being like an hour and a half, and I come up and say, well, when's my car going to be ready, and you're going to shove me out the shop?
No, you're the guy that bought the Ford Escort. Now you're blaming it on me?
Well, no, that's why. Hey, you know what? I drive a Toyota, pal. You know why? Because the Japanese put the food on my table where my wife works.
Just remember that they're also the number one most stolen car. Just remember I told you that. And number two, that's an automobile built by a country that had not one but two atomic bombs dropped on it. And as far as the Japanese are concerned, Canadian, American, there's no difference. So just remember,
Joe, what are these threats that somebody building a car, repairing a car, will render it unsafe?
Well, that's what I'm saying about the rice burner that this guy drives.
You didn't answer his question.
My car's been an hour and a half. You told me it's going to be ready in an hour. And if I come up and your cashier is counting your cash flow at 10:30 in the morning, which is ludicrous in any business,
What's that, sir? Yeah, well, sir, what I'm saying to you is just count your lucky star. Just don't bother me, okay?
Oh, really? Geez, no, you just base your business on customer service.
I'm successful because I don't allow any yuppie to push me around with their busy attitude.
How is that pushing you around by asking? My car was supposed to be ready in an hour. It's been an hour and a half. How is that pushing you around by asking when my car is going to be ready?
Can I ask you a question?
What are you one of these Americans are going to put a gun to my head and tell me get the hell out?
You're one of the guys that's going to cut my brake lines if I piss you off, right? As long as you stay in Canada, nobody's going to put a gun to your head, okay? And number two.
Well, that's right. You know why? Because we don't have 11,000 murders here every year due to guns.
Well, you're right, sir. You don't even have 11,000 people. Now, the thing that...
All right, look, what is this, shtick now?
No, I'm trying to answer the guy's question,
man.
Okay?
Not only are you a bad businessman, but you're a racist as well.
What are you in a hurry for, Chuckle Chops? Oprah doesn't start till 3, okay?
I don't get you.
Oprah doesn't start till 3.
It's amazing to me that you're even in business.
Okay, look, this is not what we're on to discuss.
I understand that, Phil.
All right, we're on to discuss automobile maintenance, not the...
This guy called up and insulted America, and he knows full well that Canada would be just a large turd if it wasn't for America. It would be a large moose turd. Number two...
You voted for Bush,
Okay, come on, man. Look, this is not a thing about, nationalism. This is about...
I want to know is this guy going to, put a bullet in my brain because I ask him if my car's going to be ready?
What right do you have to bother me with a question like that?
All right, hold on for a minute.
Why? You're the one that's saying not to pee you off if I ask him if my car's
You're listening
ready.
To the Phil Hendry Show. And
you're the guy that's bothering me.
You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're talking here with Austin Amarca. Austin is an auto mechanic. He owns Amarca Motors in Lancaster. Mr. Amarca, we've gotten sidetracked.
Absolutely, Phil.
We wanted to talk about service and...
Absolutely. I think we've gotten sidetracked.
But you are saying things. You say you don't want to work on Japanese cars. And hooray for the Canadians, they don't even know how to make cars. And then you go on to say that, when someone asks you when's their car going to be ready, you say to them, man, you're really getting on my bad side. Don't ever ask me that because you're showing me no respect.
Well, Phil, look at a housewife who's got nothing but time. And this one gal came, she had a carload of kids, which is fine. They got these SUVs. And the Japanese, how fast the Japanese jumped into that market because the Americans had that market for a while. So there's nothing that the Japanese that jump right in that, right? So she comes in for a tire rotation, and then she goes up to Bill Stroud, who works at our service bay over here, and she said, my son has a doctor's appointment. When will you be done? Now, that, as you know, is something we don't like personally, but I can tell you sometimes we can handle it with good humor. We can handle it in a way that diffuses the tension, And I think Bill is an example of one of the great service personnel we have here that makes us very special.
Well, what are it? Did he tell her when the car was ready, or...
He's not going to tell her when the car's ready. What I'm saying is he handled it...
What did he do?
Well, he pretended, and I thought it was funny, he pretended like to talk like a deaf guy. And if you've ever heard deaf people, they'll talk like that, you know, you've heard that. So he pretended he was deaf, and the lady didn't bother him anymore. Now, that's an example of creative thinking on the job that makes us the number one service center 5 years running here in the Santa Clarita Valley, and it's what makes us very proud.
Well, okay, 1-800, what you did was, is you make... All right, let me go over here to Judy. Judy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Austin Amarca. Judy?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I overheard this whole thing, and I'm just, it bothers me because I continuously service our cars. And I'm a typical housewife who brings a car in, and I need to know when what service I'm going to need and how long. And usually, doesn't it take is a certain amount of time for a certain amount of thing to be done? And for me to get it serviced for the things that I bring it in for, wouldn't you say, okay, this will take about 3 hours? And then I can, okay... At least it gives me about four hours to do what I need to do.
At the beginning, yes, ma'am. But here's what happens. Then the guy calls back. Hi, I'm Mr. So-and-so. Can you tell me, is my car ready yet? And that's when everything turns. That's when the red mist, what I call the red mist, comes down.
The red mist?
Well, that's what makes me angry. See what I'm saying, Judy? Now, let's say you come in. Have you got children?
Yes, I do. I do.
All right, I wouldn't recommend bringing them in with you. What I would do is leave them at home.
Why not?
You don't know what's going to happen. You know,
right, because other things can happen, and you need to... When you say that come in and ask if the car is done and this lady's counting her money, I mean...
It could get ugly.
Well... I saw someone counting money, I would not even ask her a question. I would wait.
Right, yeah. You wait until they're done.
I would wait.
And then when's a good time to ask that question?
When
I'm sorry?
Done.
No, but I would ask Mr. Marco, when's the best time to ask the question, when's my car going to be ready?
Oh, I guess you people haven't been listening to me. You never ask that question.
No.
Otherwise, you're going
to
start...
You're kidding. No, we need to ask that question. We have things to do throughout the day.
Haven't you been listening to me?
I have been listening to you, but it's really
Otherwise,
odd because everywhere I go...
Bill Rhodes, who's a tremendous employee, does not do dance. So he...
You know, that would just floor me if anyone did that to me.
Well, wait. Well, you wouldn't bother him with any more questions because you figured...
fun.
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
You were just making fun at your customers? I mean...
No, ma'am. I'm saying... Well, no. Bill didn't want to answer her... Pardon me, but he didn't want to answer her stupid question, so he pretended he was a deaf guy, and she didn't bother him anymore. And I thought that was a wonderful way of diffusing the situation.
Wait a minute. She wants to know when's her car going to be ready, and Bill Stroud talks like a deaf guy.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he doesn't...
He's going... You know what I mean? Now, this, if you have to ask
that
a question...
That really upset me. Really upset
What, talking to a deaf guy?
No, for him to do that.
Well, how would you know he was joking?
If he didn't want to speak to me, he can just say, I'll get someone someone else to assist me.
Well, no one's going to want to assist you. Nobody's going to, you know...
How does anybody, anywhere, find out when their car's going to be ready?
I'll tell you why.
We don't need the exact time.
We pick up the phone and we'll call you.
That's right. You would call me. You would say, "Well, we'll give you an estimate."
That's right.
Time,
okay.
And then
thanks
you would
so
call
much.
Me back.
Nice talking to you.
All right, Judy. Thank you very much. Good call. 1-800-4. Wait a minute. I didn't want to hang up on her.
Well, that's just all I had to say to her.
1-800-449-8686. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Larry, gone. Okay. Let's move over to Matt. Matt, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
My family has been in the automotive and RV business for 50 years.
Yes, sir.
And when somebody brings their RV in to be worked on...
Yes, sir.
They're paying their money that is paying your wages.
Well, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah. You
and
should show them a little bit of respect.
I do, sir.
And,
I tell them...
Yeah.
I can get the... But how come they're... When they keep asking me a question I told them not to ask me, then I got to go into the Bill Stroud routine.
Yeah, well...
And, wait a minute. Is this something every guy does?
We've trained a lot of our people to do it, yeah. Go ahead. Hey, well, Matt.
Yeah.
Ask me this question. Sir, when's my RV going to be ready?
Depends on what you're having done and...
No. I want you to ask... Just ask...
You'll get an estimate when it will be done.
Ask me this question, Matt. Sir, when's my RV going to be ready? Just ask me that question.
When's your RV going to be ready?
No, don't know. I can't.
See, you'll think you're talking to a deaf guy, and you'll move on to someone else.
No. The thing is...
Jesus God.
The customer is... In America, the customer is always right. You bought your pride.
Sure.
You put your pride into your work.
Yes, I do, sir.
Because that customer is paying your wage.
Can I ask you a question, Matt?
And
how busy is your shop that you have time to sit there and answer all their stupid questions, though, see? Amarka Motors, we're busy all the time. Somebody goes, I say, I got no time for your stupid question. I got your car up on the rack. I'm going to get everything done. The guy keeps asking me. I'll just turn around and go,
yeah,
we've been in business for 50 years. How long have you been in business?
Well,
how long are you staying in business with the attitude like you've got?
This will be our second winter. 2 years, in other words.
Well,
one, two.
Stay in business
two.
Another 90 days, you'll be doing good because this broadcast is going out over thousands of people.
That's right, Matt.
And word of mouth gets around.
That's exactly correct, Mr. Amarka, and I would think.
We've got Bill's son, Peter, to come in once a month, who's a sweet young boy. He was born with a hearing loss. And we've found that Peter can be very useful to us. He comes in and talks, deaf guy talk, and we learn from him. And
are you trying to tell me that Bill Stroud, this guy in the service area, has a deaf son who comes in once a month to teach the rest of you guys how to talk like, quote, a deaf guy, so you don't have to answer customer questions?
I thought it was a creative way to deal with things, yes, sir. We sit around the oil pan and we learn sign language, which looks like a whole bunch of Japanese stuff.
All right, Matt, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Austin Amarka. Ken?
How you doing?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'd just like to, I kind of wonder...
This guy deaf?
As long as he did.
What's that, sir?
Sorry, I kind of wondered how you stay in business for two winters.
Yeah, well,
I come on
down to California and I'll teach you a thing or two.
I run a shop up in Canada here. I got no problem with if that's the way you want to run your shop, that's fine.
Do you service those Japanese cars?
We service anything and everything. All our customers are the same. They're treated all the same with respect.
Well, wait a second. Let me ask you something. Are you a mechanic?
Yep.
And you're the owner of the shop, huh?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask you something. I'd be curious to know this. 18 times some housewife says, when's my car going to be ready? When's my car going to be ready? You need to learn how to talk like a deaf guy. And I'll tell you why.
No, you don't. You know what you got to do?
What's that?
You got to learn to respect her.
Well, what's
if you turn around and say, you know, ma'am, well, once they check it out, I'll let you know. That's all they're asking for.
Okay, well, let me ask you something. If you go,
I don't know.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying.
Well, if you talk deaf, then they're not going to bother you.
Why would you want to talk deaf when you got it?
Why would you show them that kind of disrespect? Do you think they're going to come back?
It's way more polite sounding.
What are they going to do? They're going to turn around to you and say, oh, well, I'm not taking my car there. He's a deaf guy.
Oh, that's great.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
Who do you think is more prejudiced, me or some person that don't like no deaf guy? Deaf, dumb, and blind.
Would you like me to answer that?
I can act deaf, dumb, and blind. And they won't bother me.
And the guy just said they won't bring their car to you either. Why the hell do they want to bring their car to be serviced by a blind guy?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't fill me with a whole bunch of confidence.
What's the matter? You guys prejudice?
Wait a second.
Prejudice, huh?
What do you mean prejudice? I don't want to have a blind guy working on my car.
So you're prejudiced. Yeah, get your way out of that one, Ken. So you're racist against blind guys. Hey, Ken, here's an easy way to sound deaf. Grab a hold of the tip of your tongue and answer any question I ask you. How you doing, Ken? And then you'll go,
I'm fine.
See?
Yeah, but you know what? I get repeat customers, so I don't got to worry about acting like a deaf guy.
Yeah, your customers repeat themselves. You're right.
No, repeat customers, as in they come back for more business.
Oh, okay.
Look, Ken, thank you.
Hey, cashier, Carl.
I can't understand how come you treat people like this. If they're putting your, they're putting like they're paying for your house. They're paying for your cars.
Paying for my house. I'm joking. Look, at one of our head cashiers, Carla, sometimes she pretends she's blind when someone asks her, where's the service bay? And she'll say, Jesus, I couldn't tell you.
We all letting this girl count your money and
this is
blind?
Yeah, no kidding, man. Unbelievable. Ken, thank you for your call.
Remember, Ken, grab the tip of your tongue and say something, and you'll sound like a deaf guy, like this.
I figure within about 90 days, you'll have lots of time to practice that all your own.
Okay, pal, we'll see who's open in 90 days from now. And guess what? My money's worth more than yours, so...
No, it isn't. Canadian money's worth more.
My ass.
No. Anyway, thanks, Ken. 1-800-449-8686. And
go ahead, try it.
Try what?
Mr. Henry, I am telling you that we are so busy, I don't want to put people off. So when they ask a question, I sound like a deaf guy. And the way to do it is to hold the tip of your tongue. Now go ahead, do it.
Mr. Amarca.
Oh, come on. I'm just a guest on your program. Please humor me.
All right. Ask me a question.
What's your name?
Phil Hendy.
Jesus. It ain't that funny, okay?
Oh, no, it ain't that funny.
Phil Henry.
Ah, man, that's kicks. Hold on, I got a customer. Yes, ma'am?
Get out of here.
Hey, Phil, you said it's like Lou Ferrigno.
Hi, I'm a kind of a hunk.
One 800 449 8686. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Oh, God, Forehead Boy is on about some porn again. He's on his show there with his big, wide, expansive forehead talking about Britney, and she was on last night, and she showed her butt, and it made him, he sprung a pup tent, and now he's all freaked out about the whole thing. By the way, Christina Aguilera said something about Britney Spears. She said, look, baby, why don't you just be who you are instead of trying to take a page out of Madonna's book? Now, Christina Aguilera, I'm not totally into that kind of music, but at least she sings and writes and produces a lot of her own stuff. She's very talented that way. Britney Spears is a doll. She's a little, Barbie doll with a great voice, but she doesn't know what she's about or who she is or why she wants to be what she wants to be. So she's just sort of taking these lame, stale pages out of Madonna's lame, stale book. I mean, Madonna's done. So she did all that crap. Oh, God, there's Billy Bob Thornton with his stupid Santa Claus movie. Why don't you people in Hollywood just stop bothering us with your bad ideas? This is a story about Santa Claus being a drunk. Or maybe if it's just some guy who thinks he's Santa Claus, then that's cool. See, I don't believe in Santa Claus personally, but I know a lot of you guys do. But I want you to know something. I don't think he exists. Now, what do you think about that? I'm going out on a limb. I could get fired. I could lose my job. But I don't think Santa Claus exists. Give me a call. What do you think? 1-800-449-8686. That number again. 1-800-449-8686. I'm telling you right now, Santa Claus doesn't exist. So you can kiss my bright red Rosie out on Main Street, baby, at high noon. All right, moving along to other news. Hey, by the way, how long does it take freaking baseball to figure out who the MVP is? What, is your sport so bad that you guys got to spend month after month after month? Today we finally found out, what is it, Barry Bonds? What is this? This is November? The season ended weeks ago. Weeks ago! MVP, that means most valuable player. I was listening, by the way, I'm listening to these guys in sports talk today. This is how pathetic it is. This is how pathetic their conversation's getting. They don't know whether MVP means MVP of a team or MVP of the league. If it's MVP of the league, then it doesn't have to be MVP of the team. And can a guy on a last place team be an MVP? All of this drivel, man, until you want to just break down and weep. So today, baseball, in all of their magnificence, announced that Barry Bonds is their MVP. Like, you guys, what do you think you're talking here? What is this, like some sort of archaeological science? I don't know. Is it Barry Bonds? Is it Yvonne Rodriguez? Is it Alex Rodriguez? Is it some other guy named Rodriguez? Is it some guy named Gomez? Is it some guy named Garcia? Well, you know it's going to be one of those. I mean, what are you kidding me? Baseball is to the point today where whoever the MVP is, one thing's for sure, other than Barry Bonds, his last name is going to end with a vowel. Gomez, Garcia, Fernandez, or whatever. I don't know. Did I say vowel? Yeah, an Italian. So, look, the season ends at the end of what? When is it? At the end of September. Between the time the season ends and the time the playoffs begin, that's when you decide who the MVP for the season is. The, you know, long into the future, hundreds of years, when no one even knows what baseball was about and no one remembers it, no one's going to care that you clowns at the newspapers scratched your butts and scratched your head and had another cup of coffee and agonized over who the most valuable player in the dopey game of baseball is for week after week after stupid week. Barry Bonds. After weeks, they come up with Barry Bonds. Boy, what brain surgery that is. How come?
Well, I don't know. He seems like a pretty good hitter, I guess.
That's the way to do it. That's what I call science, man. We'll be signing the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, on Saturday from 11 to 1 at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills. That's Saturday, 11 to 1, Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, the sports bar. So you can stop off, have a taste, get the CD signed, and then get out of there. No, I'm kidding, but you know. Get off the Topanga Canyon exit north off the 101 freeway. This is the Phil Henry Show. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Austin Amarca, the people who called real people, unprompted, unpaid. That's the genius of the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association to talk to me about a proposal. It's radical, Ms. Dooley, from the standpoint of homeowners associations. And I also have to say it's radical in terms of the... It's radical in terms of any social sense in our society, don't you think so?
Thank you, Phil. I don't know. I know I'm a homeowners association president. I know we have some 120 families that comprise Western Estates. We also know that we have seen one too many pregnant women killed. We've seen one too many snipers shooting at people at gas pumps. A very dear friend of mine who is a member of our homeowners board was coming out of a supermarket in DeLago last week. She was approached by two very aggressive individuals for money. She was frightened to death. They were obscene. They were crude. She was as white as a ghost when I saw her. I don't know about anyone, but I think we've seen one too many Amber Alerts. I think we've seen one too many of these kinds of incidents. And through it all, people are too scared to defend themselves, and that's why we believe that our proposal for mandatory gun ownership in our community is revolutionary. No other homeowners association has ever done it. It sends a very clear message.
Yeah, but hold on, Bobby. When you tell people in your community, and you're in a gated community, I understand?
That is correct. We are a walled community. We have security at both gates.
When you tell people that they have to own guns, you're kind of messing with someone's property rights there.
Well, you know something, Phil? The way we feel right now, either individuals within our homeowners association, within our gated community, either they own a gun and learn how to use it, or we'd be very happy if they wanted to sell their property and move, because our properties are being appraised every year at higher and higher values. We're sick of it. But
you can't force people to own a gun, can you?
Well, Phil, an opportunity for me to be recognized. You know something? We are having a a competition right now among gated communities across America. We have Oakwood Homes to our left. We have Deer Ranch to our right. I know both of the women that run the homeowners associations there. One of them is Wendy Bressler at Deer Ranch is putting in a clubhouse. Jane and Richard Kazmersky at Oakwood Homes, they're putting in a spa. When I came up with the idea for mandatory gun ownership, I addressed a very clear problem. And I really do just a little bit want to blow my own horn and say it was very original. And to be recognized as Homeowners Association President of the Year, an opportunity for our community to stand tough against crime, I think mandatory gun ownership by each and every person is wonderful. And, you know, we have a slogan at Western Estates, Phil. I don't know about other parents, but at our community, our slogan is, at Western Estates, we love our children. How's that for something original and new? We love.
Well, now, wait a minute. Are you offering, you're saying, in other words, that you don't, people who do not, look, at, I do not disagree with gun ownership. I'm a gun owner myself. But when you make it mandatory, when you tell people they have to.
Phil, they, you know something, I think that it's really, really selfish for people to put the burden of security for their home on other families. We are offering training. We are offering training for the people who don't have guns for a price of $100 a month. That's assessed to their homeowners association fees. But own a gun they will. Now, Mike Tarek, who is over at the San Fernando Gun Barn, has offered training. And as far as the children go, Phil, when you're...
Well, what about the kids? You got guns. By the way, we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley of Western States Homeowners Association. They are proposing mandatory gun ownership. Mandatory gun ownership. In other words, it's not... May I own a gun, but you must own a gun, which takes... What about children in the home? Families that are concerned with children.
So I wanted to address that.
Go ahead.
You know something, Phil? You're talking about children and gun safety.
Absolutely.
And I would say that I would rather a child... I would rather my child accidentally shoot himself with an unsecured weapon... And remember, we try to train the parents on what to do, but I would rather he accidentally shoot himself than...
Oh, my God, but...
No. I would rather he shoot himself than wind up like Polly Klass or Danielle Van Damme or Jimmy Rice, abducted by strangers, raped, and murdered.
Controversial proposal on the line with me, Bobby Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You will force people to own guns. Now, what if somebody says, no, I don't want to own a gun, and you can't make me own a gun? How do you address that in a home?
Well, first of all, Phil, I think people need to get over their cowardice. I really do.
You're calling it cowardice. Some people, by philosophy, don't...
Phil, I think what we're dealing with is cowardice. And now let me take what cowardice is. And when I say cowardice, I don't mean that these are people that wouldn't fight. But when it comes to guns, I think you've got a lot of people out there that are just plain frightened and they don't know anything about them. If they say, no, I don't want to own a gun, we can assess them through our homeowners association an extra $200 a month for the generalized security of their home.
Are they paying a security premium right now living there?
We pay a homeowners association fee.
Do you have a guard at the gate?
We do.
Is he armed?
No, he is not.
Okay, so you do not have the armed response guard.
No, he calls the L.A. County Sheriff.
All right, so you have no arm. So this is your way of arming the residents?
We will arm the residents. Those residents who do not choose to avail themselves of the constitutional right to own a weapon will be assessed $200. I have an opportunity to become the Homeowners Association President of the Year with a very original idea and to have our community be nominated as the Gated Community of the Year over Oakwood Homes and Deer Ranch. And we are going to do our very best to achieve this. And people who are liberal and don't agree with the idea of gun ownership are going to have to get on board. This is revolutionary, Phil. No one has ever, in the history of gated communities, required that homeowners possess, use, and learn the use of a gun. But I am. And
I'm very proud of my wife, too, Mr. Henry.
Is that Mr. Dooley?
Yes, my husband.
I'm very proud of my wife, too.
Well, I know you're proud of your wife. The aspect of this, Mr. Dooley, that I guess we're...
And you can talk to me, Phil.
No, I'm talking to both of you. The aspect of this is the mandatory aspect.
Phil, we are going to get everybody on the same page out there. We've had too many rapes, too many murders, too many polyclasses, too many people with home invasions. If you don't want to learn how to use a gun, then you have to face your children, and you have to face your relatives, and you have to face your neighbors as being the one lone holdout, and yes, possible coward of the group.
All right, this is an, I don't even know if it's legal, mandatory gun ownership. Ms. Dooley, I wanted to ask you one other thing.
Yes, sir.
Is this legal?
Absolutely, it's legal to live at Western Estates, and we can make this true of any and all gated communities across America. But you'll own a gun. You'll own a gun because it's good for a neighborhood, and I have, you know, it's really funny. I've looked across the way at Jane and Richard Kazmersky and Wendy Bressler's Deer Ranch with their gazebos and their lighted trees, and they think they're very special. Well, guess what? I've got a very original idea, too, mandatory gun ownership. So all the other homeowners associations can recognize that we've got, and this will make Western Estates a real community, a safe community, a bonded community, not like Oakwood Estates.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve. They run the Western States Homeowners Association. They are making gun ownership mandatory in their community, which means you have to own a gun, you have to know how to use it, and if you don't, if you refuse to own a gun, they will assess you $200 a month. There seems to be an ulterior motive, though, that she keeps talking about being Homeowners Association President of the Year. She keeps talking about this idea of her gated community becoming something, but they have said you must own a gun or you'll be assessed $200 a month because everybody else is having to protect you. And she did use the word cowardice, which I think is wrong. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Survivor Compton. The Bill Henry Show is back.
Bobby, it's Steve Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association. The only question I have, if you were requiring gun ownership, requiring it, and this is a foreign concept to a lot of people, you may own a gun, people understand. You must own a gun.
Yeah.
Is foreign. And what about the safety of children?
Phil, we love our children. But at some point, you have to give up control over certain events. If our children die as the result of a gun being in our home, it's almost the price that we pay for securing our community.
What about your own kids?
I'm sorry?
What about your own kids?
Oh, my children are not going to be at risk at all. That's not even an issue because we hire private security for our home. But
So you have private security within security?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, not everybody can...
Not everyone can afford it, so that's why they must own a gun. And if it does endanger a child, it's a tough call, but I think it's worth it.
All right, let me go over to Steve. Steve, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead.
Yeah, these people are psychotically paranoid. I mean, and to require everybody to have a gun is ridiculous. What's going to happen in that community is there's going to be a higher incidence of injuries and deaths as a result of people getting drunk and using the gun in domestic violence situations.
How do you figure that?
There's going to be a higher incidence of children get a holding of the guns and accidentally doing damage.
Hold on, Steve. Let her say something here. What?
Sure.
I was going to say, how do you figure that? Are you a gun owner?
Absolutely not.
Well, then you don't really know the reality of
no, that's
gun.
Not true at all.
No,
I'm very familiar with guns. I was
well,
in the military.
You're familiar with reading newspapers, but
yes.
What we're talking about is the responsible ownership of a gun so that...
Well, what about a drunk husband?
Steve, right now, our communities are up for grabs against people like the people that killed Polly Klass and others, the little girl Danielle Van Dam. You're saying, what if a drunk husband shoots his wife? I don't know. What if she's raped and murdered by a serial killer?
Yeah.
See, you can't answer that. And the reason why is because it's an even trade.
No, it's not an even trade. If it happens by somebody else, then that is unfortunate, but is something that you have no control over.
Yes, you do.
If
you own a gun.
You brought a gun into your own house.
You do have control.
Your own teenager commits suicide or kills somebody else.
Wait a minute.
You brought it on.
If you have a gun, you can keep your wife from being raped, haven't you?
Right. Didn't you figure that one out? Jesus.
I thought you said you're in the military.
I'm not actually.
I mean,
I was.
You know, so you know that when you shoot a rapist, it'll kill him. See,
you, know, you are so paranoid that you live in a gated community,
well,
you have a security system, and you still have to have a gun. I mean, when is enough enough? Do you have to have a guard in your bedroom?
Do you know that we have a lot of people out there that want what we have? We live in a gated community. We have 7,000
square
feet.
But that's not enough. Not only do you live in a gated community, you have to have a gun on top of that.
There are a lot of people outside the walls of our community who'd like to live in our community, who'd like to have what we have.
Sure.
And we need to protect ourselves from them. And
what, you mean other Americans?
There's a lot of jealous people.
So you need guns to...
Well, we need to protect our homes, yeah. And you, do you have anyone in your life you really care for? You know, so you can shoot whoever hurts them?
All right, anyway, Steve, thanks. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley on gun ownership being mandatory.
So I wanted to follow up on a comment that I made just a moment ago to him.
Well, clarify one of the comments, maybe it's the one you're talking about. We have a lot of people jealous of the way we live.
You know, we really do. We have a 10,000 square foot clubhouse. We have a 9-hole golf course. We have a lot. And there are so many people who try to move into our community from a lot of the outlying areas. They're jealous. They wish they had. We're very prominent. And how do we protect ourselves? The way to protect ourselves is with a gun. And the way to protect ourselves with that gun is to make it mandatory. No one has ever come up with an idea like this until I did.
And my wife's completely original idea.
It was completely my original idea. Thank you, Steve. No one's ever said you must own a gun.
They've only said you can own a gun.
Or they've said you can't own a gun. But no one's ever said you must own a gun until I came up with the idea. And I'm very proud of that, and I think it's going to put us over the top at our Homeowners Association of the Year elections.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Bobby and Steve Dooley talking about their Homeowners Association. The homeowner and the fact that you need mandatory gun ownership, but that's going to put you over the top at your Homeowners Association of the Year elections? So this is about...
It's about a lot of things, Phil.
Well, this is more about you winning some competition, isn't it?
No, it most certainly is not. It's about protecting our children, certainly, and all of that. But, yeah, it could put us over the top. And I've got a real sixth sense about this.
All right, Bobby. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with us. I am a gun owner. I would never force anybody else to own one, but I certainly don't believe that one must own one. And I certainly, while we have the freedom, I certainly don't think that one must own a gun.
Well, that's all very neat, Phil, but I disagree.
Yeah, I know you disagree.
And if you live where we live, you better own a gun.
All right, Bobby, Steve, good luck. But you heard what that gentleman said. You know, it's just going to lead to a lot of violence and a lot of insanity. It's the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, by the way, is where we're going to be signing our best of CD, The Death of Talk Radio. Please don't bring a gun. Saturday, November the 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 21870 Victory Boulevard. You get off at Topanga Canyon, go north off the 101 freeway, and I'll tell you what. If you haven't picked up our new CD, you should, because there are two CDs. It's a two-CD set, and it is filled with probably the best material that we've ever had in our collection of radio comedy. Two-CD set for $20, and it's available this coming Saturday at the Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills. It's only $20. Now, if you go online, you can order it there, too. And I think it's going to be delivered by when, Chris? November the 14th? November 14th is when delivery of our CD takes place. So, by all means, grab a hold of this thing, because it's going to be a sweet situation. Our Best of CD for the year 2003, The Death of Talk Radio. It's a two-CD set for only $20, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California, as well as, you know, just a great place for kids to hang out when they get a little scared out living out there on the street. By the way, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. It's got all of the stuff that's that you would possibly want. And coming up, I'll be able to tell you about something special that we'll be doing for Thanksgiving here on the Phil Henry Show. Something very special. And if you were around for last Thanksgiving, then you kind of get an idea as to what it is we do. Also, George Bush is in London, the President of the United States. And guess what? The British, in all of their wisdom, and they're about as dumb a group of people as you're going to find anywhere. I mean, you know, the Americans are no smarter. But if you want to talk about dumb, the British are just as stupid as we are. And they don't dig Bush being there, so we're going to talk about that. We also got other stuff to say about Keyshawn Johnson. And we got another Scott Peterson story to tell you here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, the voice of Bobby Dooley performed by me, and the people who call in talking to these characters think they're real. They are unprompted, unpaid callers. Like most talk radio, a lot of callers are paid to call in, or like you get your producer to call in. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, a lot of hosts, when they're stiffing on the calls, they'll get their producer to call. They'll pay some friends to call. It's pathetic. I mean, really, it's pathetic. I hear Forehead Boy does a lot of that. And Comb-Over Boy, I think. But we don't have to. We just make them up. We make the calls up. All right, 1-800-449-8686, or real folks call in thinking they're talking to a real guy. Steve Bozell was on to discuss a topic yesterday that not many men will admit, spousal abuse against men.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Oh, hi, Stephen Bozell of Men's Aid.
How you doing?
Ridiculous, buddy. That's not abuse.
You just heard the nurse say it is, so it looks like you're not on solid footing.
Well, the nurse sounds like someone who abuses her husband, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound like somebody who abuses your thing.
Okay, look at... What's the point here, guys?
Well, this guy, a nurse just talked about it.
Okay.
So
what the nurse said totally didn't make sense, okay? Mental abuse because someone laughs at you? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
I bought those magic... you know MC Hammer?
What's that?
You ever seen MC Hammer?
You need to turn your radio down, sir.
Okay. Have you ever seen MC Hammer?
Yeah.
Okay. He had them parachute pants he wore in a McDonald's commercial one time because I saw him floating down to Earth in them. I said, well, that'd be really funny because that reminds me of when I was dating my wife. So I go out and get some of these pants. I found them secondhand. A friend of mine knows someone who used to have a magic shop over here, so she had some. I put them on. I walk in. My wife laughs at me just like that.
And the nurse is trying to say that's abuse. You need to see counseling.
Yeah.
Nice nurse. Very educated.
Well, hey, what do you do besides working underneath cars all day long?
What do I do? I'm a professional boxer, man.
Are you kidding me or something? You've probably taken enough shots to the head. I bet your ears look like two big things of cauliflower, don't they?
No, I don't got the cauliflower ears yet. But
yeah, well, I tell you what, next time they take your head off after a fight and pour your brains out through your ear, you give me a call.
Yeah, next time Steve Lysell wants to see what abuse is, tell him to give me a call, because getting a...
Well, first of all, my name ain't Steve Lysell. My name's Steve Bosell, you punch-drunk milk.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, whatever. I got a little bit of damage in my head by being hit. But
Hey, let me ask something, Dan. Who do you fight, kangaroos?
Very
but
funny.
If you want to set up my next match with Steve Bosell, no problem, man.
Yeah, I bet you'd have, I bet you I'm the only kind of fight you can get.
Yeah, that's
hey, wait a minute.
The only kind of fight I can get.
Hey, wait, well, let me ask something, Dan. Do you fight up in Canada?
Yes, I do.
What kind of tomato cans you fighting up there?
A lot of guys from the U.S. come up here, buddy.
Yeah, a whole bunch of... Hey.
They don't come back
wait a minute, Dan.
For a rematch.
Hey, Dan, wait a second. I see your name in the paper here. Dan versus Little Red Riding Hood. Yeah, I've seen that fight.
Oh, Steve Bozell's coming up, I see, eh?
Hey, wait a second. You're talking pretty big for a featherweight.
Look
for
at
a featherweight.
God.
Yeah. Well, what weight division are you in? Besides...
I'm a middleweight.
What'd you say? Quarter pounder with cheese?
Quarter pounder with cheese.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, why don't you watch out so your wife doesn't beat you up again, buddy?
Okay, well, you do the same thing, man, because maybe your next fight's against my wife.
Yeah, well,
okay.
I'm worried now, man. I might get some Indian burn.
All right, okay. Thanks.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Whatever. My next fight's against your wife. I hope I don't get no Indian burn. God, I wish I would have found out what that guy's name is. He's a pro fighter in Canada? So who the hell do you think he is? Is he ranked? Is he big? Is he, you know? Dan something? Somebody out there research that. Who is a professional boxer in Canada named Dan? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Talking here about our flashbacks. You can find those, by the way, on our website, which is www.philhendryshow.com. And our website, you need a backstage pass to get one. To get online, to get all of the audio, that is. The backstage pass is only $6.95 a month, so it's a sweet thing. It's a good deal, dude. Scott Peterson is going to stand trial for the death of his wife. You know, I was talking about this a couple hours ago. I just want to say one thing. Actually, I want to say two things. No, I want to say three things. Actually, it's going to be about a half hour's worth. Now, I realize we're all different. I understand that. But I always like the, you know, everybody says this, wouldn't you do this? I want to ask you as a reasonable human being. Your wife goes missing. You're frantically looking for her. Next thing you know, they've arrested you for her murder, and now you're really in a panic. Because not only have they not found your wife, they're going up the wrong freaking road, man. That wasn't you. It wasn't you, right? Now this guy Scott Peterson. Now I'm just putting myself in his shoes. If this is not really the way everybody reacts, okay, I'll understand it. But I find a hard time believing that it isn't. So now I'm looking for my wife, and on top of the fact that I'm looking for my wife, the idiots that I hoped were helping me look for my wife, now these idiots have arrested me for killing her, and I didn't do any of this, right? So now I'm really in a panic, right? Now they say to me, well, Mr. Henry, we're going to show autopsy photos. Now, this guy Peterson said, I don't want to be in courtroom. I don't want to be in the courtroom for the autopsy photos. I choose not to be here for that. He's so stupid, and he's such a sociopath, that he thinks that that is read by the rest of us normal human beings as a show of love. But little does he know that if you are an innocent man, and not only are you innocent, you don't know who killed your wife, and not only do you not know who killed your wife, now they're saying you did it. So now you're alone, man. You are totally alone. You're in a world of hurt because you're trying to find out who killed her, and the authorities think it was you. You're kind of like, dun, 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 Richard Kimball looking for the one arm. You know what I'm saying? The fugitive, baby. So I'm this guy. I don't want to miss one second of that trial, because if there's anything that turns up that can tell me who really did it, because there's two things now that this guy has to contend with. A, prove his innocence. B, still find out who killed his wife. He's got he's carrying the burden of all of that on his shoulders because the authorities think they got the right guy. The DA figures they got the right guy. The defense attorney, he don't give a crap. He's just trying to get you off. And you, who killed my wife? I'd want to be there for all of it, man. Yeah, it would be gruesome. Yeah, it'd be horrible. But by God, there might be something that will prove something or show you something about the death of your wife. This guy, he don't want to be there for the autopsy photos. He doesn't want to be there for a lot of that stuff. And the reason why is because he killed her. He killed her. And he did a stupid job of doing it. And here, I'll tell you what sunk Scott Peterson more than anything else. That body was found. If they'd never found that body, this guy would be still walking around. Now, you can convict people of murder without a body. There's a, is it called habeas corpus? I don't know what the hell it's called. But there's a thing where, or maybe it's called habeas, they ain't no corpus. I think that's it. No habeas corpus. Produce the thing. Pull it out of your pants and then zip it back. I don't know what it means, but anyway, you can still convict somebody of murder without the body in the United States of America. Scott Peterson might have gone on trial for that, but now that they found not only the body of his dead wife, but the body of his unborn son, this guy's ass is, he is done. He's cooked. It's only a matter of time now. But for him to sit there and say, no, thank you, I don't want to see the autopsy photos, and he gets to not be there for that? 1-800-449-8686. When we come back here, man, I'm going to talk to you about Bush. He's over in London, and these limeys, boy, they're a real piece of work. They're going to have 60,000 anti-war protesters over there. And why do you suppose that is? Now, you see, I know what everybody's saying right now. Phil, they have a right to their opinion, and what makes you so smart? Well, what makes the British so smart? They used to have an empire. Now they're on their ass. What do you think of that? Or does that make them geniuses that they don't have their empire anymore, huh? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
No big thing, but the British, being a fairly predictable bunch of people, are protesting Bush because he's a warmonger. Yeah. Good God, man. When's the world going to get a new message? When are they start singing a new tune? We're warmongers? You know, here's the problem that Europe has with America. Europe is no longer the center of the world. It is no longer. There was a time there where it still was kind of hanging on through the 50s and even through the 60s. Europe was still kind of hanging on as a major player. When Bush and when Cheney especially said it was the old world, they weren't kidding. And it pissed them off over there. But there's nothing they can do about it because they are not the center of the world any longer. They're angry about it. They don't like the fact that America, an upstart country, a young country, is calling the shots, but that's exactly what's going on. Now, I know that a majority of the British probably support what's going on in Iraq. I have no reason to doubt that. You know, 60,000 people at a war rally in Britain is ain't really all that many. Climbing fences. They don't know why they're against America, but I can tell you, subconsciously, for the average dumbass in Europe, especially Britain, who doesn't dig America, subconsciously what's at work inside of them is the knowledge that they are, you know, they are like irrelevant. They're irrelevant, baby. The president took, are you trying to tell me that people don't recognize that Bush knew it was an unpopular step to take? Bush was not taking a step that I believe he felt would be popular in the long term. This was a courageous move made by a president with a vision of history and a vision of the future. He took a step that had to be taken in order for the United States to position itself properly for the next 100 years. The invasion of Iraq had to take place because the battleground and the enemy will be the field of terrorism, and the enemy will be the terrorist. That is the new enemy. That is the new communist, if you will. That's the new Nazi, if you will. In fact, today's terrorist has more in common with the Nazis than they do with the communists. They're anti-Semitic. They're theocratic. They're, you know, they're stuck in the fifth century. They're strange and they've got odd looking uniforms and totalitarian culture, and they hate women and they hate gays, and they have brutal and you know, cruel forms of punishment. They are everything that the Nazis were. Today's modern terrorist. And in order for the United States to ensure a shot at survival over the next 100 years, we had to do what we did in Iraq. Now, you ask the average American what he thinks about what I just said, he's going to scratch his fuzzy noggin and flip it back over to the American Music Awards. You know, he don't freaking know. Ask the average Brit what he thinks of what I just said. And, of course, the Brit's a little bit, we've got a higher opinion of himself, but he's just as stupid. And he ain't going to know what the hell it is I just said. Now, you want to think the Europeans are smart? Let me ask you a question. The British had an empire. And they lost it. And don't tell me they lost it willingly, because you don't know what you're talking about. I do. The British gave that empire up unwillingly, reluctantly, scratching and kicking every step of the way. They were forced out of India. They're forced out of the Far East. They got, they're completely irrelevant in Canada, other than the fact that the people up there still got that that old broad's kisser on their money. The British are where they are today, man, because they didn't see the future. The United States does. And it's really sad, and it's almost criminal, that we have to take up the freaking gauntlet for the rest of the gutless world. It's the cities of Europe that have been victimized more by terrorists. It's the cities of the Near East that have been victimized more by terrorists. It's all over the world those people have been attacked by terrorists. Even the Australians haven't got the balls to take a look at what happened to 300 of their own citizens in Bali. They think that they're going to make friends out of these people. See, this is what the rest of the world believes. They can become friends with the terrorists against America. They'll join. They're so deathly afraid. They're so terrified. They're so utterly in fear of terrorists that they just want to go, oh, please, Mr. Terrorist, let me be your friend. Let me align myself with your third world convictions. Let's the two of us get together and go up against the big bad America, because we're so scared of you, Mr. Terrorist, sir. You know, they go along with this crap, man. They go along with the terrorists who represent nothing. I mean, they represent Jew hate. They represent cutting off hands. They hate, they put women in bags. They practice their stupid, silly religion. Just like these Christians, these far-right Christians, the same thing. It's more the same baloney fundamentalist religion. And they don't have any love for you, man. You may say that you understand why the terrorists did 9/11, don't you? Is that right, man? Have you got a college education and you get it, huh? Well, guess what? They still want to stick it up your freaking giggy with a wah-wah brush, my man. You think all them cats, you think you understand them and you get why they did 9/11 and you understand the whole power structure and the power politics behind all of that? Well, they're still going to kill you and your kids. They don't give a crap whether you live or die. And especially if you're some intellectual Jewish American who believes that there is very good reason as to why Al-Qaeda did what they did in New York. You're the first one they want to stick in a cattle car, man. What are you, stupid? You know, and most importantly, these terrorists, they hide. They hide among the civilian populace, so you can't fight them like men. And they hide among the business suits and the robes of the regional leaders of the Middle East, so you don't know whose hand you're shaking. You got to smell it after every time you freaking pull your hand away. Yep, that smells like dog crap to me. This is a guy who is steeped in an ancient and irrelevant world, a world full of ignorant men who have great power. Why? Because they have the hold on the street. You know that Arab street everybody talks about? An Arab street where they manipulate the poor, stupid slobs that live down there so they can finally right the wrongs of the initial Moorish invasion of Europe. So they can finally right the wrongs of the initial ass-kicking they took in Europe 1,000 years ago. I mean, can you dig this, man? This has been on their mind for 1,000 years. These cats can't stand it, man. They got their asses kicked out of the Pyrenees, out of Spain, and back into North Africa. That's how uptight and freaked out and weird these cats are, right? And what's our response to this? Bush is a warmonger, and Bush don't know what's going on in Iraq. You know what? Get yourself a freaking education and figure out what's going on over there, because long after he's out of office, it will be proven in history that President George Bush, who is not my favorite president, and I don't think he's the smartest guy that ever walked, but this move in Iraq, it will be proven long after he's gone that this was one of the most significant steps any American president ever took. Bold, significant, had to be taken. And there's going to be a whole lot of people are going to feel like the freaking a-hole when they find out what out, man. Okay, 1-800-4... By the way, I did that entire monologue, I want you to know, stoned. 1-800-449... I'm joking, of course. 1-800-449-8686. Order a copy of our Best Of CD, The Death of Talk Radio, by going to www.philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show, will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.